It is Mighty Morphin time. It is definitely time to hop in the DeLorean, gun it to 88 miles per hour, and blast back to the future. It is time to put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. Proverbially, of course, ladies. It is time for week 9. The stakes are high, so we're going to climb too. That's what it's all about. Let's talk Thursday Night Football. And then we got our usual segments, housekeeping. We're going to do some Would You Rather. Get into some reload, make some DFS picks, and make sure that everybody is ready to rock and roll on Sunday. Let's go. Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process. Hopping right into our housekeeping. For week 9, we got a lot to talk about because we got to stay ahead of the curve. So first thing is, how did we do hits and misses week 8 last week? So we came back down to earth a little with the daily fantasy aspect of what we're doing. Scorching hot the 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before. So this is a game of ebb and flows. This is a game where, especially if you're playing daily fantasy on sites like Web or DraftKings and FanDuel, you will lose sometimes. A lot of times what we expect to happen is to win the double-ups and then maybe not cash in on the tournaments because those are more risky. Go back a few episodes if you don't know what I mean by that. Listen to the housekeeping from week 6. But that's expected. The big down is when you lose the double-ups too. It's hurtful for me as well when I know what I could have did or was hinting around what I could have did that would have made that work, right? But that's all in the game. And so that's the first thing we want to talk about in housekeeping this week is you got to know how to lose if you want to play DFS, period. If you can't handle that, then you're going to tilt. If you tilt, you're going to spend more money. You're going to break rules that you were setting up for yourself that makes this a safe thing to do. So there's a lot on the line here. So essentially, learn how to lose. We have to take the good with the bad and bounce back this week with DFS. So if we're looking at the hits and the misses, I think the biggest thing that worked was Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and making that the stack and really thinking, you know, I don't want to invest in, you know, too much else lineup wise besides this and working around that. So that part worked. Also, doing the alternate with Burrow and Chase and explaining why that would work worked out well. Pairing that, you know, together worked out well. So a lot of the reasoning at quarterback was good, and that's fine. Now, Waddle, I said, would not, you know, be too effective, and because he's been banged up, he was just fine. He was actually as serviceable as Tyreek Hill, but also we did call out, you know, tougher matchup for Kupp and for Puka. You know, they didn't hit, so that's a hit that they didn't hit, and we had that there. But definitely said Washington would have their hands full, all systems go for A.J. Brown, and that was great. Hill banged up at, you know, Tyreek Hill banged up at 9,500, can't do it. He had a decent day, but you got the better production from Waddle, so that's probably the better play than Hill. But you certainly could have played them with Tua together, which I had made a case. I said two is interesting, but both wide receivers were banged up. So I didn't really have enough of a willpower to go all the way in on it. Also, the thing I want to call out is, you know, Gary Wilson, I said better against the zone. And, you know, so no to that last week. And he was just fine as well. So some things that did not work, even though the big pieces that we wanted to use work. So a little smaller pieces didn't really work, right? Zay Flowers did not work. Christian Kirk was wrong pick too. The offense wasn't wrong. The wide receiver position for Jacksonville wasn't wrong, but it was Calvin Ridley, who, if you remember, I waffled a little, chose against Ridley. Also, some of the honorable mention guys, Romeo Doubs, he didn't do much, but Kendrick Bourne did, and then he, you know, tore his ACL and he's out for the year. So there's that. But Hurst was not good. Gray, the punt tight end, nothing to write home about. The Atlanta defense didn't kill you, but the play to make would have been the Bengals at that 2,200. They were serviceable, and I backed off of it a little bit last minute once we found out Brock Purdy was playing. For the running backs, Pacheco didn't really do much. Strong, Hunt, the Cleveland stuff, that didn't really work. But I did say I would make a lineup with McCaffrey, so obviously that thing went off. Those were the hits and misses from last week. Gonna bounce back. Talked a little bit specifically about New Orleans and that I would not use them, even though I thought that Carr was interesting. I was unsure if he's going to play the whole game. And then I said everybody was going to be good, so I wasn't sure exactly who to play and how to narrow it down. But I said it was a well-rounded offense that should have a lot of opportunity. And we saw that come into fruition. And so last week, Carr was able to activate the receivers. Almost all of them got in the double-digit fantasy points for PPR. It did not happen, but it was almost the case. Kamara obviously had a great day as a pass catcher. Running not so much against that defense last week, but they made it work anyway. So there was a lot to go around there, and I guess the better play would have been to lean into that and just take, Olave, pair him with Kamara and pair him with Carr or what have you. So didn't really work out to be the case for me. And then obviously could have pivoted from Kirk to Ridley. Those are a few of the things that we could have did to make ourselves successful last week. Oh, also said it would be okay if you played Kelce, even though I didn't. And that was not the case as well because of Mahomes with the flu. We played Breece Hall in the flex. That worked. That worked at 5,900. So that's the story, the tale of the tape from last week. We're going to do better this week. All right. So what to do if you lost your QB? And primarily we're talking about these Kirk Cousins people, right? Because let's face the reality. You probably haven't been playing Ridder unless you were, in a 2QB league, right? And maybe not even then. But anyways, for the Kirk people, it is probable that you've been riding first place with him and now need a replacement. I was in that scenario. You may have even had Jefferson too. So now you were once a powerhouse staring down neither of your top two performers going forward for the rest of the year. So it's kind of like, what do you do, right? So from that standpoint, you would have already done something about Jefferson, and hopefully it was investing in Addison or Osborne. I know I was a little higher on Osborne, but we see Addison was the play for sure. So hopefully you got there. Now, in terms of quarterback, as the question is this week, what do we do? So I'll give you an example in the team that I have with Cousins, okay? Let's talk savvy real quick. So right after the injury happened, before the Monday night game, I was sure to, use up a bench spot and pick up Jimmy G. This was before McDaniels was fired and all that, right? Because he was available without going through waivers because they hadn't played yet. So this is Monday afternoon, right? I did that first and foremost as a measure of saying, okay, now I've got someone for next week because I don't carry two quarterbacks. We can get into that another time. I'm not buying this coveted protection, a production from, quarterbacks 18 through whatever. I don't care. They're out there. You get them at the last minute. So I only had the one quarterback. Cousins goes down. Monday afternoon, I pick up Garoppolo thinking, for next week, if I have something as a break in case of emergency, right? Now, of course, we see what happens with the Raiders, and so that's not viable. But by then, I had already dropped Garoppolo for, I believe it was Watson, who's also available. And then we go into the waivers. And so I used my waiver on the defense. And then I just got a bunch of guys that were out there is the point. Dobbs, number one, who would be the replacement. Not this week. They're going to let the kid Hill get the shot this week. See what they got there. But Dobbs, pretty serviceable in Arizona. Don't know if that's going to be the case in Minnesota, but it's worth a shot. And they felt it was worth a shot. So I have a spot for that. Also got Baker Mayfield. Production has been there. He's willing to run if necessary, and I have Mike Evans on that team too. So I'm just thinking, get attached to my guy again. So I was able to pick him up as well. And again, these are quarterbacks that I got by just waiting after the waiver. So I didn't spend fab or whatever to do this. So my point is, they're out there. If you're a Cousins person and you need it, they're out there. So Dobbs, who's the immediate replacement. Baker Mayfield to pair with Mike Evans. I also have Metcalf. And so I went and I got Geno Smith as well. Serviceable. Now, is Dobbs going to win you your league? No, probably not. Is Geno going to win you your league? No, probably not. But I put these guys with Watson. Now I got a carousel. Watson was showing flashes of production. We talked about this earlier in the year. And so if they can stay in playoff contention and he can get healthy, we saw production from him to his number one wide receiver, Cooper, that was very promising. And there were a couple of weeks where that was the play to make. So we can take a flyer and think about leaning back into that by just holding him and staying steady there. But in the meantime, I've got these two, three other quarterbacks just to see what works. Or I can play the matchups every week. So that's how I'm going to play that. And then just, you know, all, because I still got Hockenson too. So I'm rolling out that quarterback, you know, pass catcher tandem, however you look at it. And I'm just going to try to figure out week to week which is the best one to do it. But that's some of the ideas that you can take into how do I make this work, because we don't give up. You don't give up. You come this far. Season's, you know, not over yet. And if we lose, so be it. But we're not going to surrender. We are going to go down fighting. And who's to say you're going to lose? So let's keep our head in the game. That's how we handle Cousins. Another thing I want to remind you guys right now is this is the time for us to start being mindful of incentives as the year winds down. You know, non-contenders playing for incentives can still be very useful to us. And so we want to be mindful of who these people are moving forward. And people playing on contracts, playing for contracts, all of those scenarios will start to create production in just a few short weeks. And moving on finally to the Thursday night football game this night, tonight, the Titans at the Steelers. You know, Levis didn't look terrible, but this is a game I expected the Titans to lose. No fault of his. I just, you know, Tomlin is a good coach. Didn't often lose to rookie QBs, especially not at home on a primetime. They are a well-prepared unit, and I really felt the defense would, in essence, do what they did, which is show up and maybe create some last-minute turnover to ice the game. That's what we have happen, right, tonight. But Levis didn't look bad. There's some serviceable things about him. There is the idea that if you look at those passes, I just like where they land in terms of where he puts it on the wide receiver, because I forget which analyst I heard talk about this earlier this week, but Hopkins is really good at shielding his body to the ball and moving his body in the air and getting those numbers square to the ball and making it easier for a quarterback who can put it in that area. Levis has shown the ability to do that. That's high-level stuff. It doesn't mean he's a high-level quarterback, but that's a high-level skill trait that like 18 quarterbacks in the NFL right now can do. So no wonder that there was some success last Sunday as well as tonight. Didn't look terrible. I like him. I hear the announcers. I understand where they're going with the, you know, with the Kenny Pickett. It's, you know, they say he has 7 game-winning fourth quarter drives. I'm going to argue the defense won that game, not him. I'm going to argue that the best quarterback between both these teams is Will Levis. You put Will Levis on the Steelers, now they'd be cooking with fire. I don't think Mason Rudolph, Trubisky, or Pickett are necessarily great, although Pickett does seem to be finding something. I'm also going to elevate this group of receivers a little bit in terms of Pittsburgh. They're okay. They're not complete trash. They're okay. George Pickens, obviously suffering from the return of Deontay Johnson. But, you know, if they had a quarterback that could activate more than one receiver, I think we would see more flashes of brilliance from this offense. But with these younger quarterbacks, you know what the deal is. They can typically activate the one guy. And so from week to week, we'll see how that works out for that receiving core. But that's a team to keep their eye on. That's a strong division. They are playing strong week to week. The defense is keeping them in it. and they got to get Minka Fitzpatrick back. They get him back, then that adds another level of dynamicness to that defense. And so they could be on to something. This is how teams make a run. They could be on to something. That's a really good football team. But that is our housekeeping for this week. The house is clean. That's it. Let's play a little round of Would You Rather. I will go through 12 conundrums and tell you whether I would rather play this player or that player this week. So let's slide along here to Would You Rather. We're going to talk about the 12 conundrums that we have on Fantasy Pros this week and discover who it is I would rather play. Apologize in advance. You know some of these are going to be Thursday night questions. So Zach Moss or Garrett Wilson to start. And so on Sunday, is it Sunday or is the Chargers and Jets game? Is that the Monday game? Okay. So Monday night, the Jets are hosting the Chargers, and I do believe that Garrett Wilson can have himself a pretty decent game. I think there's an opportunity to have production in that environment, and the Indianapolis Colts are going to play Carolina. I'd like production on the ground, but I think the production starts turning more towards JT, Jonathan Taylor. So I like Moss less. I like Taylor more this week, even though the position is in play. And I like the position's opportunities more than Garrett Wilson. But for particular this week, Moss versus Wilson, say a flex opportunity, let's go with Wilson. All right, Alexander Mattison or Tutu Atwell this week. I'm going to go with Alexander Mattison because a couple of reasons. Number one, Stafford is dealing with the thumb thing, may or not play. So that's a big issue, of course. If they got the backup, it's definitely Madison. And also, it's going to be very, very cold in Green Bay. I don't know how much offense is going to be going on if Stafford plays and there's a thing with the thumb anyway. So I'm not looking too high on that. And on the other side of that token, Alexander Mattison has to be considered, if you know, for tournaments for sure, because you're starting a quarterback in the young kid Hill this week that we've never seen before. They want to see what they have in him. That could very well not go well. But ultimately, you want to create a, you know, game plan around running the football to accent something that can work well to help him, right? So there's that. So I would say Madison over Tutu Atwell here. All right, Aaron Jones, and again, this is Green Bay, who is going to be taking on this week the Rams at home. So Aaron Jones and what predicts to be a colder game, or Deontay Johnson. So I probably would have said Johnson being that number one de facto receiver, because Aaron Jones is still not like he's in a 50-50 timeshare last week with Dylan, and he wasn't even the most productive in that. So there's something going on there. I kind of want to see more before I commit. Now, from a seasonal aspect, let me just say one thing. If you can get him on the low right now, especially if you're a Dylan owner, do it. Because I'm not closing the book on Jones, but there's something that's off right now that I'm not going out of my way to play him and make choices to do that. But if you can get him and we can pocket him and see what happens, that's good. So we're going to go with Deontay Johnson here. All right, Amari Cooper or Rashad White this week. So I'm going to say White just because Cooper, his availability, I think depends less now on whether Watson plays or not. I think that was the case a couple of weeks ago. We were all thinking that, but then PJ Walker's able to activate him a couple of weeks in a row. He didn't set the world on fire, but he definitely helped your fantasy football case. And so you see that he's usable. But Rashad White is dominating the touches for Tampa Bay, and this is a decent matchup. He's coming off of a good week. Roll him out there. Let's go with White. Joshua Palmer or Amari DiMercado. So Palmer's banged up, which, you know, that's not great for him. I'm going to go with DeMarcado, who is taking over the lead back position, it seems. He was great last week. They are also starting a new quarterback this week. The Cardinals want to see what they got in the rookie there, too. So, I'm probably not rushing out to play any parts of that passing game. But what does that mean? You got to do something, right? They're playing Cleveland. Cleveland's a pretty good pass rush, too. So you're going to have to run to take the pressure off of that scenario. So let's go with DeMarcado. All right, Darrell Henderson Jr. or Deontay Johnson? I would have went with Deontay Johnson because we know we're going to get with Darrell Henderson Jr. Very limited upside, you know, 9 to 10 fantasy points, unless he happens to fall in the box 2 times, 3 times. And that's less likely now with the offensive line that they have. So Deontay Johnson would have been a way to go there. Rashee Rice or Roschon Johnson this week? I will go with Rashee Rice. With Mahomes being healthier, that offense should be back to form, and he's been coming on and smaller upticks of production week after week, and so we want to take notice of that. Roschon Johnson was the lead running back in the backfield for the Bears. He got the most snaps, but he didn't get the most rush attempts. So very weird stuff there. Not sure what's going on with Chicago in terms of how they parcel out that production. So you go with what you know. Got to go with Rashee Rice here. All right, Ramon Stevenson or Puka Nacua this week? Out on Puka, again, same reason as, we talked about earlier with the Rams and Tutu Atwell. Can't do it with Puka this week, weather, thumb, etc. But also, if it's anybody in this offense, it's Cup. Again, I'm still waiting for the final verdict on this, trade for Williams from the Lion for Puka Nacua. My heart was sinking as I felt like I made the wrong deal for Jamal Williams and trading away Puka Nacua. But there's still this promise with Williams that just doesn't exist with Puka right now. That offense is limited in the way that we thought. Everybody is not going to be serviceable every week. I know he had the one flash week, like a couple of weeks after Cup got going again. So that's leading people to think, oh, he's in play still, but not so much to me. Ramon Stevenson, on the other hand, is in play this week and overall in play because he's their lead back. I know Elliott gets touches here and there, but it's Ramon Stevenson's job. Consider also Kendrick Bourne is lost this week. Devontae Parker is on concussion protocol. So, there's going to be, I think, more of a reliance on the run game by New England. So I'm going to go with New England. Okay. Gus Edwards or Jalen Waddle this week? Let's go Gus Edwards. The Gus bus has been rolling this week. Let's keep it going. So Waddle, though. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I don't know why I read that. I read a different name versus Jalen Waddle. I would go with Waddle, actually. I'm expecting Miami to do what Miami does. And so, yeah, Waddle should be in play. Even though I think Gus will be serviceable this week. It's definitely Waddle over Gus. All right, Logan Thomas or T. Higgins this week? Now, I will say Logan Thomas just because he seems to have a role in the offense. And T. Higgins, he's there. I mean, he's out there, but I'm not sure what's going on. Tyler Boyd has been more serviceable over the last couple of weeks than T. Higgins has been. And I know this is a carousel in the NFL, so just when we say, well, these are the two, then the other pops up, right? That's the good thing about Cincinnati and having these three wide receivers. You could never count T. Higgins out. Now, the matchup, the quarterback, all that scenario says, Higgins is somebody that should be considered because Cincinnati's playing Buffalo on Sunday night. So you're expecting some fireworks there. But these opponents know each other at this point, because of the playoffs. And also Logan Thomas is just a part of that Commanders offense, whether you like it or not. You're looking for more guaranteed points, you go Logan Thomas. You're looking for more crazy upside, higher ceiling, you go T. Higgins. All right, Marquise Brown or Chuba Hubbard. I'd love to say Brown. But the thing is, we can't trust a quarterback we don't know. That could end up going really, really poorly. And if that's the case, then, Clayton Tune will not be long and put out to pasture. But you know, let's go with what we know. Chuba Hubbard, you know, is going to see some time. We know Miles Sanders will also see some time. However, Chuba Hubbard is still out there too. So I got to go with the 8 carries that I know he's going to get, right? 1 or 2 maybe targets in the passing game. I got to go with that. Maybe one of those goal line carries, 2 goal line carries. Versus Marquise Brown going up against a tough Cleveland defense with a tough pass rush. And so I'm just not sure what we're going to see on a new week with a new quarterback besides the kid being flustered maybe. And our final conundrum is going to be Ezekiel Elliott versus Elijah Moore. I think you go Elliott here. Elijah Moore has had flashes, you know, a game or two here and there, but inconsistency at who's playing quarterback and inconsistency at, you know, the passing game in general has led to him being largely irrelevant. So you have to go with Zeke, who is least getting goal line touches. But that's the who I would rather. For week 9 at least, so maybe that helps you now know who you rather. And now it's time for the process to reload. So let's hop into it. Love this segment. We already covered Thursday, so let's jump right into Frankfurt. 6:30 in the morning, Pacific time here in California. But we're going to get all the way from Europe, Miami at Kansas City. So this one, I think, is going to be fireworks. The Kansas City team is not, you know, this world-beating offense that we're used to, but Miami's going to force the issue, and Kansas City's going to have to play keep up. Mahomes is going to have to do numbers. Kelsey's going to have a good game. Rice is going to have a good game. Pacheco's going to have to catch passes because Miami and Tyreek Hill, you know, Hill's going to prove something. It's a shame they didn't do this game in Kansas City. It's kind of crazy they didn't do that. That's actually really weird they didn't do that, but Tyreek Hill is going to give Kansas City all their worth to prove that they should have paid him. So you know he's going to be ready to burn. Waddle coming off of a great week, too. It's all systems go for Miami. So everything's in play for them, too. Mostert as well. I mean, it's just going to be a test for the Kansas City defense. That's not a bad defense. And, you know, so Kansas City's offense is going to have to come out ready to honestly keep up with this team or slow it down and run. And I don't think Miami is so terrible against the run that you're going to be able to do that all game. Now, there's going to have to be more running because Miami's got Jalen Ramsey back, and he's already picking the ball off. So that complicates things, too, for an already sputtering Kansas City offense. I think this is going to be an interesting game. But Kansas City, I'm just not sure, has enough firepower. Miami looks to be clearing above the best. They've added to their defense the last week by getting Jalen Ramsey back. That's an X piece that makes sure that you can play one-on-one coverage now in the secondary. And so that frees up, you know, other defenders to go make trouble. Miami's getting dangerous at the right time of the year, and I don't think this is a game that Kansas City can win. I'm not very high on either of these defenses. I think if you have Kansas City players that you're relying on from a fantasy standpoint, that's cool. But in terms of real life, Miami should win this game. Tua has a good game. Hill, Waddle, those guys, and then, you know, Kelsey on the other side, Mahomes. But Miami does a little bit more in the end. Reload on the Sunday regular slate, Seattle at Baltimore. So, you know, I largely believe Seattle's a pretender and Baltimore is the for real. So the Baltimore defense is definitely coming in the form here. There's going to be some shadow coverage perhaps on Lockett. You know, I believe there's going to be a lot of zone from Baltimore. They're playing zone at a very high rate. That's just not something that DJ Metcalf has been able to deal with properly this year. And so I'm not expecting much from him. Lockett will have his hands full. Seattle, for their efforts, need to try to run the football. And like last week, I think is good. They use more Charbonnet. Bad for Walker owners, good for the overall offense. Create some balance by using both those backs. And Charbonnet was pretty productive too. So maybe a little dose of that again this week can help their case against Baltimore. The Seattle defense has been surprisingly good this year, and they actually added, from the Giants, Leonard. So that is going to, on their line. So they have another pass rusher. That's going to help them as they try to ascend to the playoffs here. Now, Seattle is going to be a little more stout than I think most people are thinking about on Sunday, but I expect a defensive game here is what I'm thinking, where the outcome is Baltimore wins it. Gus Edwards is in a good spot. I like Gus to set the tone in this one. I really think that is how they differentiate themselves, being them Baltimore from Seattle. Mark Andrews, not so much this game, but Zay Flowers, yes. He's definitely in play, but I just like Gus Edwards more. Baltimore defense shows up. They do just enough to win this game. I think it's a grittier game defensively. Seattle doesn't embarrass themselves, but they're not going to walk away with this one. Reload. Arizona at Cleveland. Okay, so as we said for Arizona, I forgot the kid's name already, but at quarterback, any of these teams this week that have this transition, Clayton Toon's name, I'm not going to be super high on them because it's a lot to ask. It's a lot of pressure. I understand somebody could rise to that occasion, but it's just not done that often. And Cleveland has been one of the top ranked defenses this year. Not a great time to test out the new toy. So, you know, all around, I'm going to say Cleveland, as Arizona just gives Murray one more week to rest. Now, DeMercado, I like him, as I said earlier, getting that run. Trey McBride, not so much. Not tight ends against Cleveland, and also new quarterback. So, again, I don't know the preference of this guy in terms of who he's going to throw to or who he's going to look to. I don't expect he can activate many receivers as well either. So, if you need something, need as an emergency, DeMercado. Other than that, I'm walking away from it. On the Cleveland side of things, if Watson plays, then Cooper's in play. If Watson doesn't play, I think you got to downgrade Cooper. If Watson plays, Ford is fine. If Watson does not play, then Hunt and Ford is fine. But I only like Hunt if the quarterback situation is murky. I believe the team knows what they have in Ford. He's a better home run play. And that is how the production has played out over the year. Barring the times we get PJ Walker out there, because you kind of just need to switch up what you're doing. So either way, Cleveland wins. That's what I think, though, in terms of production based on who's playing at the quarterback position. Reload. All right, Tampa Bay at Houston. So I think Baker Mayfield and company is actually in a pretty good spot right here. I do like Mike Evans against the zone. Godwin a little less, but I think Baker can get it to his guy here. I like, on the other side of things, Dalton Schultz. Tampa Bay can be had against the tight end. So CJ Stroud, not afraid to throw to Schultz. He's been coming on strong this year. I think we see that continue. I like that from a seasonal play, from a daily fantasy play too. That's cool. Pierce going to have a little bit of a tougher game against Tampa Bay. Just running the football, not maybe the path to victory. Now, in terms of the pass game, Tampa Bay is probably going to try to play a little bit more zone. They're very heavy zone. So Stroud has an opportunity. Now, I'm a little less on Nico Collins this week, and I'm probably a little bit more on Tank Dell, I think. That is a nice opportunity in soft zone coverage this week. And I expect Tampa Bay to be running with them or ahead at least. And so the opportunity to pass is there, especially against a defense that just isn't going to let you run up the middle. Now, Pierce, if he can catch some passes, can be productive. So if you have him in seasonal, you can play him and try to get some production from that standpoint. But from DFS standpoint, I'm probably staying away from him. Houston coming off that loss to Carolina last week, baffling, but they want to get back home and get back to business. Pretty good defensively. But Tampa Bay, surprisingly, trying to figure some things out here. I'm trying to figure out just how bad this team is, because at some points they might look like they're a 3-4 team, and at some points they look like their record should be a lot worse than that. But again, if Baker can, and the key to Baker is he's willing to run, and that actually takes a lot of pressure off that offense. So there's that aspect of what they're doing, but Rashad White is in play too. I think against this Houston defense, he's definitely going to be able to do enough. Like, West Coast offense for Tampa Bay, short passes to set up the run is all day here, money. But Houston's not going to make it easy at home. They are going to play tough. Can Tampa Bay win this game? I think it's going to come down to the wire, but I'm going to say Tampa Bay can win this football game. They have just enough to win this football game. I know CJ Stroud has been good, but his last game, he was not good. I'm thinking maybe teams have seen something. They're figuring something out with him. And I think that trend continues this week at home. So Houston is probably going to drop down to 3-5, in my opinion. I think Tampa Bay gets back to 500, and they do it on the road. Reload. Chicago at New Orleans. So the Bajan show for Chicago, not a very good show, but this is what we got now. So New Orleans, Chicago going to New Orleans. I love New Orleans here. I love the defense here, but more importantly, I love the offense. I love Carr. I'm going to use him for DFS. Going to not make the mistake that I did last week and not play him, because this matchup for Chicago is really similar to what they had to go through with the Chargers last week. And so from that standpoint, it's not the same, but it's similar. From that standpoint, you got to like a Michael Thomas this week. You got to like Olave over the top this week too. I mean, I know Rodriguez will be with him. This kid, asked for a trade from the Bears. He didn't get it. They gave him permission to pursue a trade. Something didn't happen. So I don't know if there weren't any takers or whatever, or they just decided they weren't going to trade him. But I do think he has an incentive to play, because you want to get out of town. Can't give up right now, right? But it's going to be a tougher day for Olave, but not impossible. Either way, Kamara's available too. Just like we saw Eckler last week, we could see Kamara end up catching a bunch of passes too. Chicago, stouter against the run, as we talked about several weeks back. That seemed to hold up last week. So maybe between the tackles, not so much. But, you know, catching those passes, sure, Kamara, absolutely. Chicago brings in Montez Sweat too at the trade deadline. So a little bit more pass rushing ability there. Kind of baffling when you think about that from the standpoint of what are they doing. Not sure if that's a piece that you need right now when you just should be trying to, you know, go grab that draft equity that you could get by you and the Panthers both being terrible. But true to form, Chicago doesn't know how to lose even good. But as far as this game goes, what do we like from the Bears? I can't say too much about the wide receivers or the running backs, just because they're using all the running backs interchangeably. So it's not that I think they're a terrible play, but you know, I think you had three guys all have at least six touches last week. There's nothing for us to pick up in that. So Kmet, you could go with that for sure. But anything else, I'd be skeptical in Chicago. I know some of you have DJ Moore. If you got him, you got to use him. You got to use him. But you know he's going to be getting that, you know, shadow coverage there from our friend in New Orleans there, Mr. Lattimore. So I like Kmet. Outside of that, not much. On the New Orleans side, again, Carr, Kamara. You can take your chances with those wide receivers. I don't really want to do that. I'd rather just play Carr and Kamara and let it play out like that. But the New Orleans defense, I think, is probably the best play from that team in a game they should win. Reload. Minnesota at Atlanta. So, of course, my heart is broken. And bad for Kirk Cousins, too, man. Like, I feel bad for the guy because he's going into a contract year, so you want to get paid, right? And so there's not even a chance that, you know, there's only a chance. There's, like, not even a guarantee, I should say, that he comes back to Minnesota. And they can't franchise tag him. Like, he's guaranteed to be an unrestricted free agent. So very sad thing for him. But he's had his surgery already, and he's on the mend. So we'll see if he can bring it back next year. So as far as the Vikings go, they traded for Dobbs, right? And he will eventually start, but it's not going to be like this week, though. Okay, so for this week, sorry, I'm just looking for the name of the kid. It's Jaren Hall that's going to start this week for them. I said Hill earlier. Sorry, it's Hall. So Jaren Hall is going to start. Now, just like we said before, that's the theme of this week is these new quarterbacks and these young quarterbacks. I don't want any piece of that. So I like Madison because for the same reason I like DeMercado, you're going to have to run it, take some pressure off that kid, try to move the ball. So Madison, even though the matchup's a little tougher, they got no choice, right? They got no choice. Now for DFS, I don't care about this, but for seasonal, you can play him if you need it. He's going to get the touches. It ain't going to be sexy, but there's something there. You know, there's something. As far as the offense goes, maybe Hockenson still, you know, you would think, you know, as a emergency blanket, you know, just right there close to the line of scrimmage. Maybe the young kid needs that, but I'm real skeptical on anything else. Minnesota defense I like because ding dong on the other side of the ball, Ritter's out and there. And this new quarterback under center here too, Taylor Heinicke. Now he's not new to the league, but new to running this offense and this team. And so we'll have to see what he brings to the table. But again, having not seen it before, I don't want any parts of it. I do like the defense, and I like the Minnesota defense better than the Atlanta defense, even though the Atlanta defense is playing a more green quarterback, I guess you could say. Minnesota, I think, is a better defense. They can cause some problems for Mr. Taylor Heinicke. So in an otherwise what would have been a positive matchup for London, we got to downgrade him, okay? You got to downgrade everybody. And if you got Bijan Robinson, you can use him. But it's not a great matchup. So I think Atlanta's going to have their hands full. Minnesota's also going to have their hands full. But if Minnesota can get a hold on the turnovers, this is a winnable football game for them. They could actually go on the road and win this. So the way that I think they do it is by the defense putting the pressure. Because we know what they want to do, what Brian Flores wants to do. So they're going to be blitzing Taylor Heinicke. I think they can force him into a mistake. Minnesota can, you know, give their offense a short field. And I think they can do just enough to get this football game won. They can escape out on the road into victory on Sunday. Reload. All right, the Rams are going to Green Bay. We talked about this one a bit before. We're expecting cold temperatures. Stafford's thumb, you know, is banged up. So he may be questionable to play. That's downgrading a lot of the Ram offense for me. The offense is downgraded in general. Just like I said last week, same thing. You basically just have, you know, a stiff back there in Henderson. Like, you know, nothing special, nothing dynamic. So it's not anything for other teams to be worried about, which means that you can focus a little bit more on the passing game. Now, the Green Bay Packers did sell off Rasul Douglas. So, I mean, that sucks for the secondary. Like, he's the heart and soul of that, and that's great for Buffalo. So a little bit of a downgrade for them. But just considering the scenario and the environment this week, I can't say that it makes things a little bit easier for the Rams. Green Bay, on their side of things, love, you know, not playing great. Donald and company will try to see if they can create a rush and make him, you know, get the ball out of his hands. I think Dobbs is in a good place, more so than Watson, I would say. The running game, you know, Jones still not giving up much. Dylan, I would be cautious and overly depending on him. I think if you got him, play him for seasonal, but for DFS, we're going to stay away from that in a game that the weather may be more predictive than anything else. If Stafford plays, I got the Rams winning this one. If Stafford does not play, then we will say Green Bay will find a way to win. Love will find a way to win. But ultimately, I'm not expecting just some great amount of points or production from this game. It sounds like a snoozer, honestly, but that's the way it'll go. Reload. Washington at New England. So Washington, they got rid of Sweat. They chase Young to the Niners too. So, you know, the rich get richer over there, but there's a new look on the Washington front. This is a great opportunity for the New England offense. You got to try to run the football. You want to take pressure off of your offense because as far as they go, like, you got to remember they're going to be without their top receiver in terms of Kendrick Bourne. You know, ACL injury, he's gone for the year. We also talked about the fact that Devontae Parker is going to be out because of concussion protocol. So DeMario Douglas becomes the next man up. I know a lot of people are interested in that, but I'm just saying maybe think about Hunter Henry as opposed to DeMario Douglas. That's probably a little bit more viable. Just, you know, And I also think the run game too, instead of just forcing it to a wide receiver, just because you guys saw him get looks last week, the running game should be serviceable versus this Washington front. And I expect Stevenson to have a good game. That's the piece that I'm most interested in. I like the New England defense as well over there. I think McLaurin is going to have a busy day in coverage, being covered by J.C. Jackson. So there is that for him to expect. You know, as far as the rest of the Washington offense, we know that Sam Howell's not afraid to sling it. You know, I know that he's going to try to get it to whoever is open in terms of Dotson and Samuel, but I would say I downgrade McLaurin a little bit. I like Brian Robinson in the run game. Seasonal, if you got that, play that and feel good about it. That's fine. DFS, I probably don't need to go there, I don't think. But New England, I think, can win this football game. Washington, I think, is going to get beat up front a little bit, and that'll help New England control the game. Mac Jones is going to make it work in terms of, you know, just finding not only Hunter Henry, but also his other tight end, too. You guys got to remember, he's got Gesicki as well. So between them and Stevenson and Elliott, that's the offense right there, right? That is the offense. So New England wins this one. Reload. Indianapolis going to Carolina. So this one is a big game for Frank Reich. Like, big couple of weeks for the Panthers. They needed to win last week and beat CJ Stroud to justify the draft pickings, because we know what everybody's been saying. They should have took Stroud, and they picked the wrong one in Carr or in Bryce Young. So Young had a serviceable game. Definitely outplayed Stroud. But that was a big game. This is a big game too now. Now, this is the revenge game for Frank Reich. You got Can from Indianapolis. You know he wants to win this game. You know it's business this week, right? And so I'm sure the boys want to win this one for coach. Running game is in a good place. I don't know if Miles Sanders gets more touches this week. For seasonal, I have the two. I'm going to play Chuba Hubbard, I think. But for DFS, I'm interested because it's a good position for the run game as a whole. What I will do is make two different lineups for this particular reason. And one will have Hubbard, and then I'll take him out, keep the whole lineup the same thing, and then I'll put Sanders in the other one. So that'll be two lineups that I have among many others this weekend, okay? But as far as Carolina goes, it's not much in the passing game except Thielen. I think Thielen can have a good game. There's an opportunity for him in this soft zone coverage to make do, and I believe that, again, Frank Reich and company are going to show up ready, motivated, and willing to beat Indianapolis. So Thielen is the guy I would go to. You could take a chance on those running backs in DFS, but I feel good about Thielen. Like, he's going in the, you know, the 50-50, the double up lineup. Like, he's going to get the production. He hasn't dropped the pass all year. He's obviously got the targets and touches. They're looking at him, and he's been super efficient. So we want to load up against a bad defense. On the other side of things, Pittman, not a bad play, but it's Minshew I don't trust. Carolina, not a super terrible defense. As I said, they will be motivated, but the path to beating them lies on the ground. That's going to go through JT this week. I expect him to take over more production from Moss, and so I expect Moss to see a little bit of a backseat, JT take a little bit more, and I think that's going to be the path to victory for Indianapolis. So you want to slow the game down, control it with the run. Do that. Now, Granson's going to play, but I don't know how good of a spot he is in. As I said, Pittman's probably in the best spot, but I like the Indianapolis defense. Maybe they can force Bryce Young into a mistake and win the game at the last minute. But I know for Frank Reich and company, this is a really big game. I'm going to say that they find some way to get to 2-6. They find some way to do it at home. I think Indianapolis, you know, they're okay, but they're not that team that's going to go on the road and just go dominate in somebody else's house. I know Carolina isn't great, but Houston's a pretty fine football team, and they did beat them last week, and so maybe they've seen the turn of the corner. I want to see where that takes them. So this will be my upset pick of the week, as I'll say Carolina pulls it off, makes it two wins in a row. Frank Reich gets his vindication. They can lay over and die for the rest of the year. They won the two games they were supposed to. They beat Stroud in Houston, and they beat the Colts. Reload. All right, Giants going to Vegas. Biggest trap on DFS this week, you guys, is $2,300. for this Giants defense, especially after the way the Bengals won at 2,200 last week and paid off at like 9 points. They're trying to herd the chalk. You know, they're herding the chalk with this. They're herding the chalk with Lamb. They're herding the chalk with Prescott. They just are. So my thing about it on that site is they want you to play because it's appealing, because the GM got canned. The coach got canned. The quarterback got benched. So it's a completely new thing. We're expected and told that it's going to be haywire, right? That might be, but it also... Think about it this way, guys. We just don't know. We don't know what we're going to see. So it could be good. There is that chance it could be good. That they canned all these people for the right reasons. We could get a completely different offense. So that scares me more than the Giants having a better than great game minus one rush defender that they sold off to Seattle. What I think is more likely is they get blindsided because they can't prepare for what they don't know. That's going to make life tough for them. We do know that the ball is going to go to Devontae Adams. I don't know how successful O'Donnell is going to be doing that. O'Donnell is going to be starting, but we'll see. I'm going to take the Giants because I think that they will get out of here proving to be the better football team. It was a tough loss last week. They should have beat the Jets. I don't know how they were in that football game. They should have beat the Jets, but I don't think they're going to let this one escape. Saquon Barkley's in a good play. They get place. They get Daniel Jones back. Thankfully, since Tyra Taylor almost died, but they get Jones back, and I don't know which of those receivers he's going to activate. I mean, it's pretty much whichever guy he wants. Like, there doesn't seem to be a preference, but the offense does him better with Daniel Jones out there because he's got the rushing upside as well. So they'll be more back to form, I think, of what Dable wants to do with his offense. And the defense can be an advantage if O'Donnell gets rattled, you know, by whatever pressure Wink Martindale can draw up. And we know he can draw up pressure. So there's going to be pressure, even if there's one less defender that they sold off to rush. So I don't even like Devontae Adams that much because I just don't trust the quarterback. I don't think it's as easy to say that wide receiver is good, he can activate any quarterback. It doesn't work like that. And we've seen Devontae be burned this year by bad play at the quarterback position. So I would say you can play the Giants, but maybe do that in seasonal. Avoid that trap in daily fantasy because it's too easy for Vegas to win. I'm just going to stay away from it if I can. I don't even want it in seasonal. I would advise you guys to just stay away from it. Now, because I won't play the Giants defense doesn't mean that I don't think that the Giants can win. So I hope you guys understand that and understand that I do think the Giants will win. Saquon Barkley can lead the way. Daniel Jones coming back helps. That's it. But just don't think it's going to be a beatdown because everybody got replaced in Vegas. This is my whole point. All right, reload. Dallas at Philly. We're expecting fireworks. That's what we are told, right? But I think this is going to be a tougher matchup than most people think. For Dallas, I'm hesitant to just go skyrockets in flight like everybody wants to because of last week. The reason why I'm hesitant to do that is because, lest we not forget, the Eagles have recently just traded last week for Kevin Bayard from Tennessee, the all-pro safety. So he even played last week, racked up 7 tackles. He's going to be more involved in it this week. And so I think it's a tougher matchup. Too easy to just say Dak to Lamb all day. I don't think it's going to go like that. So I do like Brandon Cooks a little bit more too. If, you know, Dallas is able to move the football, then I think he's going to have to be involved as well. Certainly through the air as opposed to on the ground versus the Eagles, okay? So I'm a little bit out on Pollard. And I do like, from a seasonal aspect, Dak. You got him with Lamb, or you got Lamb seasonal. Go ahead and get him in there against that zone coverage. That's where he does thrive. So there is an opportunity that he could be successful. But if you're looking back at these games historically, on the other side of the football, you know, I would be more willing to play Hurts than I would Dak because you're at least getting the rushing touchdown upside from Hurts. So I think Hurts is a better play, but he's more expensive. See, on DraftKings, they're tricking you. Hurts is like 8,500. Dak is 6,500. Everybody's going to play Dak this week. and all the other choices are injured, hurt, traded, or whatever, everybody's going to play Dak this week. Let's face it. And I'm thinking, you know, Hurts will probably have better production than Dak this week. And most people are going to want to play A.J. Brown. Let me tell you what it's going to be if you don't know. Stacking Lamb and Dak with Brown and figuring out the rest of it, paying down for the rest of it. That's not going to work. It's going to be too popular. Devontae Smith is in play, though. We really do like that. We want to take advantage of him because you do need to get some parts of this game. And we're going to use Cooks to get the other parts of this game. Those are the ancillary pieces that if the game blows up, that's what they're doing. It's not just going to be these four guys, y'all. It's not just going to be Dak to Lamb, and then Eagles get the ball, and then it's, you know, Hurts to Brown. It's not that. So let's invest in the ancillary pieces because I do think we can see some points. Dallas did show more last week. They did push the ball downfield. The offense, ADOT, has been low, and we've been riding them for that. And we said there's no way they're going to win last week with that low ADOT. So they increased it. You guys saw. It's directly correlative to the conversation we were having last week. And they did the thing that we said you would need to do to win that game. I didn't think they would do it, but they did it. So they've shown that they can uncork the fireworks. I believe they're going to want to do it again this week against Philadelphia for sure. Philadelphia, it's going to be a tougher game, and Philadelphia, I believe, can slow it down with the run. Swift, I like. I think he's in a good place this week. Definitely like that Philly run game more than the Dallas run game. And at the end of the day, Dallas is not going to be able to come into town and knock off Big Brother. I'm going to give this one to Philly. I think with Bayard back there, defense starts to round in a little bit better. And Philly offense does just enough to get them a victory against Dallas. I think, you know, Dallas is going to have to hold this one against this team and the Niners. But this week it's going to be them taking the loss in Philly. Reload. Sunday night, Buffalo at Cincinnati. This should be a fun game. And Buffalo picked up Rasul Douglas, like we said, to help out in the secondary. They've been banged up back there. So this definitely helps them as they try to round into their playoff form. But Buffalo should be all systems go. We really like Stephon Diggs this week. Gabe Davis also. I'm not going to invest in the run game. I'm not going to do it because Buffalo won't invest in the run game. The run game is something that is used sparingly, you know, to because you don't want to pass every single play, but there's no real commitment to it. So if anybody, it's Cook. But Cincinnati's defense has been decent and playing better. So I just don't want to challenge that if I don't have to. On the other side of things, I do believe that Cincinnati, we called that game last week just like that. That was perfect. This is going to be another game this week. Now they're going to win this one. And it's going to be like their slow start to the year never even happened, you guys. Buffalo has been inconsistent. We've seen them up, down. Unless, you know, I really believe that they're going into Cincinnati to lose this football game. I like Chase this week again. I do like Boyd this week for sure, too. And I love Burrow getting it to them. He's going to get the ball out. I don't think the rush is going to be an issue for him. I like that less than, or more, I should say, than the run versus Buffalo. So we could end up having a bit more offense from this than I think, you know, happened in the last playoff game, honestly. But those are the places where I expect it from, the usual suspects. Now, the only thing that could make the game script go a little differently would be if Cook gets more involved. But again, I just can't see them going to something that they haven't been doing all year. Cincinnati's going to control this one. If you have Mixon, play him as seasonal and feel fine about that, I think he can get as much as 20 touches. They're going to set the tone. And then at the end, they're going to want to run clock. So there's going to be portions of the game where he's more relevant. But I sincerely believe it's Burrow, Chase. And if that gets too funky, look out for Boyd. Play T. Higgins if you got him because he's out there running routes, getting looks. It's only see Johan Dotson if you wonder why you should play Higgins. It's only a matter of time before the production turns back to him. Never told people to stop playing Dotson. Everybody wants to say it's Samuel over Dotson. You can drop Dotson. You can't do that. Look at the looks and targets and touches. That Washington Commanders team, three receivers were all getting the same amount, right? So it's like they're all in play. This is a similar scenario here with Cincinnati. They're, all those receivers are still in play. So just because Higgins is the odd man out right now, don't go away from that. He could very well turn it around this week, but it's going to be Burrow picking apart that defense quickly and getting it to whichever of those guys is open on the coverage. So I like Cincinnati. I think their defense takes another step forward this week, and Mixon shuts down the game in the end when they needs it. And they get themselves back in the toast of the town in terms of better teams in the AFC, because I've got them winning this week and I've got Kansas City losing this week. And so, you know, the conversation is going to shift. Then it's going to be Miami and Buffalo, or I'm sorry, in Cincinnati. And we'll go from there. But we'll take on the Sunday night the Bengals. And that leads us to our final shot. So we'll make it a good one. We'll reload for Chargers at Jets. Chargers coming off the home victory against the Bears. They're going to travel to the Meadowlands to play the Jets on Monday night. The Jets are going to be tough defensively, but the Chargers have an opportunity to win this football game. We like Eckler. He's in play for sure. And of course, Keenan Allen is in play. Of course he is. Outside of that, I like the Chargers defense. I'm not going to say that the Jets are, you know, accident prone or anything like that, but the Chargers have been quietly playing better and better each week defensively. And so we'll have to see if they can continue that, I guess, trend. For the Jets, though, Breece Hall is in a good spot. You could definitely tote him out. And certainly Garrett Wilson, I think, against this Chargers zone defense is definitely in a good spot, too. I don't like too much else from the Jets. I think that the Chargers, you know, have the opportunity to come in and keep the game close, but the Jets can't win this game. The Chargers are a little banged up. Palmer's a little banged up. So the opportunity might persist to just kind of, you know, key in on Keenan Allen. That's why I like Eckler. But Chargers will have to keep the tempo up in this one. The Jets, I do think, have the better overall run game opportunity this week. But the Chargers had the better pass game opportunity this week. This is a close game, and I'm going to give it to the Chargers. I'm going to say they're going to find a way to win it on the road, and I think the defense just makes a three and out stop or something like that, or turnover on downs. Showing up just over the course of one series or one stop can be what wins you the football game, and it feels like that's the thing that carries the Chargers this week. The Jets, not a bad football team, but I think they fall to 500 after this week from a tough opponent coming in on Monday night in the Chargers. But that is the reload for this week. That's how I see it. So hopefully that helps you guys in your assessment of what you need to do, who you need to play, which way you want to roll. Now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week. So we end with our DFS picks for the week, guys. So here's where we go with it. As I already said, we're going to go with Carr this week, $5,700. But Baker's interesting. And if you want to play Baker, you pair him with Evans at $7,300. But I'm definitely going to go with Carr. As I said, the Bears create the opportunity for a lot of, you know, passing offense, see the game last week. And Carr in the Saints, I called them last week one of the most well-rounded offenses right now. A lot of weapons to go through, can burn you in a couple of different ways. They're kicking it up a notch too at this time of year. So we like Derek Carr. We're going to do what we should have did last week and just play him and roll it out. Jalen Hurts, tad bit expensive for this matchup. It's okay, but it's not great. So, you know, it's a lot of money. Dak Prescott going to be super, super chalk at $6,500. I cannot even do it. You're placing yourself in the same boat with everybody else. And so I just would caution against that. I'm going to have one lineup to do it, an alternate lineup to do it. But I wouldn't get too overly invested in that. Lamar Jackson is going to be too expensive. The run game and the defense can help him win that one. So I don't know about that. Stafford, banged up, the weather, you know, all that, even though Rasul Douglas is gone. And as far as wide receivers go, Thielen at $7,500, most consistent target, hasn't dropped a pass. It's a pass-friendly environment on this Sunday, so you want to play him for sure. And then Devonta Smith, $7,100. He gets us access to the Eagles and Cowboys game, which is key. Brown is expensive, and Dallas will try to contain him with their top-ranked defense and Stephon Gilmore, of course. And so they've been able to do that one time in the matchup. So there's that to consider. And if that happens, then you would be more inclined to play Devonta Smith or even a Goddard. But we are going to go with Smith at $7,100 for our lineup, because again, that gets us access to this game. So Lamb, we can pair with Dak if you do the Dak alternate lineup. But in the main lineup, we're going to go with Brandon Cooks, as I said, in our flex spot at $4,400. To get more access to that game that we do expect fireworks from. Zay Flowers, $5,700. We're going right back to him this week. You can do him or Tank Dell if you want, because Tank versus the zone, you know, that should be fine. But Zay Flowers, I think in a week for Baltimore, where they're playing, you know, a top-ranked team, and Mark Andrews not in a good spot. So all that points to Zay Flowers. There are others to consider in this, you know, price range, and I would consider them in this order. Pittman at 6,600, Olave at 63, Lockett at 6,200, Cooper at 61. But I'm going to be playing Flowers and Zell over those guys. And then I'm not really trusting wide receivers with new QBs. So that's really shortened up the leash on what I want to do on DraftKings this week. Tight end, guys, I just want to punt down to be able to afford some of the other things I want to do. So Lane Thomas at $3,500. This guy is consistent with targets and touches every week, and so that's all I'm looking for at that tight end position to hope for a touchdown. Musgrave and Schultz are also both interesting if you want to try to go there. Of the two, I take Schultz. Defense-wise, the Rams at $2,600 is interesting this week, guys. It's going to be cold. Love isn't great. D still came away on a positive score last week versus Dallas, and that was the Dallas that put up 43 points on them. So this is a much better matchup at a price that I can, you know, be confident with. So $2,600 for this Rams defense, I think, is pretty good. And it helps us fit a lot of stuff in on DraftKings. And then from there, New England at $2,900, I think, is interesting, guys. New England's very interesting at $2,900. And I would be interested in playing them for a game that I think that they're going to win. Minnesota at $3,300 and the Giants at $2,300. Interesting. But as I said, the Raiders are a clear mystery in a chalk-type scenario based on that low price. And so I'd be cautious about getting myself into that boat of the unknown, as we'll call it. And finally, a running back position, $8,100, Kamara. That's why we pay down some of these other places. We want to pay up for this dude. You saw what he can do last week on, you know, bad running production, still making himself available in the passing game. And so we like Kamara for sure this week again. JT, Jonathan Taylor, $6,400. Love that. I think, you know, that's a go opportunity this week as he saw more targets and touches last week. You know, they're rolling him in more, and I expect even more of that this week. Gus Edwards, $5,900. Again, the past couple of weeks, Gus, the difference is, you know, Hill and Edwards were pretty much splitting touches and, you know, splitting touches in the red zone and stuff. But over the past couple of weeks, Gus Edwards has taken over touches at the goal line, touches inside the five. So that's the big difference. That's how you go from scoring 20 points, you know, from maybe just scoring 7 to 10, right? So Gus Edwards, $5,900. If he's going to be in that, you know, goal line position, that's our guy. Then we're going to play him and take advantage of that. And then Ramon Stevenson at $5,400. Again, New England, you know, banged up at the wide receiver position. You're playing a front that has been traded away this week, and you have a decent running game. You have a decent running back. I would lean into that. I expect them to do that this week. And I'll make a lineup for just in case with Watson if he sits. Or I'm sorry, if Watson sits, then that lineup's going to have Hunt. And then I'll do a second form of that lineup and just take out Hunt, keep everybody the same, and do Ford. And I told you guys I'd be doing the same thing with Sanders and Hubbard. So basically, I would even do the same lineup for all four of those guys and just keep swapping out that position. But I want to encourage you guys, that's how we play the DFS portion of the game. You have the most players that you feel comfortable about, and then you just, you know, keep picking off other little pieces to pair with those guys. So most of the lineups are all the same with just a few variations. So I've had weeks where I told you guys I'm only playing this one, and I'll play one alternate, and I feel great about that. But this is the week where I'm going to have seven or eight lineups, but they're all the same. They're all literally one Prescott, like one Baker, and then the rest of them will be Carr. And then most of those running back variations are probably going to be on one of the Carr lineups. So that's really it. So it's not, I know it's going to be, you know, you think eight lineups. It's not really that, though. Do you get what I'm saying? So hopefully that makes sense. But that's what I've got for this week, guys. Hopefully that helps you guys make some successful picks that slam home the victory for you. Here's where you find us. For next time, you want to come back and listen to The Process, www.tigerbombsae.com. That is the website for Tiger Bomb. All our podcasts are there. True Crime, this podcast, you can listen to The Process. Click on the page. You can watch The Process on that page through the YouTube channel. If you want to search for us on YouTube, you can do that too. Basically, you can search for us the same way everywhere, guys. YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Playlist, whatever. All of it, just search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. This podcast will come up. You can like and subscribe or follow or do whatever is appropriate. And then you can catch all the new episodes as they come out. Get that notification and rock it fresh on Friday morning. All right, y'all, that's what I have for you this week. We'll meet right back here next week. We'll huddle up, talk about what we saw, and we'll just continue to learn, scout, win, and repeat. The Process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.